You've just tuned into the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, Steeler Nation, welcome back to the Black and Gold Airwaves. We are ready to talk some Steelers football here again tonight. My name is Matt. His name is Mark. What is going on, man?
Well, the season is over, my friend. It was a season that we got a little too giddy for at the end. You know, they pulled some things together and had us thinking that maybe this team could make a little run and got that home playoff game to start, and yeah, granted, didn't have Le'Veon Bell, but what a just disappointing effort on Saturday night.
Yeah, it was pretty much pathetic. This team pretty much toyed with our emotions the entire year, up, down, lose, win. You know, then towards the end, of course, they get on the winning streak, they get into the playoffs, they win the division, things seem to be falling in line for a team that you and I both said was going to go 8-8. And then, of course, and just like clockwork, they go in, and in the first round of the wild card playoffs, they break our hearts once again. And the Steelers, of course, losing to their hated Baltimore Ravens, 30-17 at Heinz Field, thus ending the 2014 campaign with a resounding thud as the as our beloved black and gold is, of course, out of the playoffs, and the offseason now begins.
Yeah, and it's I think it's going to be an offseason filled with some drama. Obviously, the Ben contract situation will be at the top of that list. Mike Tomlin will hold his final press conference of the season tomorrow, usually a spot where he talks about coordinators and stuff. I really don't anticipate anything major coming out of that, with maybe a few lesser coaches, position coaches, maybe, you know, that may be looking elsewhere, college ranks or other pro teams. I don't know, but both coordinators, I think, will be back if they want to be back. we'll get into that, but you know, I think the game Saturday night, I thought Joe Flacco said some things after the game that really stuck with me, and I hate to admit he's right, but I think he is. And he said, we have taken the approach that we're not going to play with fear, and we're just going to go for it. And you know, that's the way they played. And the Steelers don't. The Steelers get in the playoffs and they get conservative. Todd Haley, I understand he was without Le'Veon Bell, but I still am struggling to understand what he was trying to accomplish. You know, defensively, I'm not real sure why Dick LeBeau didn't bring more pressure. Yeah, I understand he's not crazy about his secondary, but they had played better of late. It was just a really poor performance, Matt. It was a performance that there just was no urgency. All the things that Baltimore did were the things that our teams seemingly used to do, especially from a physicality standpoint. And maybe that's the most frustrating part of it.
You know, I think we were doomed when everybody started singing our praises about how the Steelers always beat, the Ravens in the playoffs, and, you know, the Ravens secondary is so bad, and their Steelers offense is so good, and all the hype up with all the media picking the Steelers. I knew that we were getting set up for a downfall. I knew it was going to happen at some point, and I was afraid it was going to happen this week, because this team just seemed like things were going too well. Things are falling into place, and they were bound to break our hearts again. And I said from the beginning that when Le'Veon Bell, you know, that when they cut, LeGarrette Blount, that this was going to come back to bite them, and it did, because they had nobody to back him up. And I think I mean, Le'Veon Bell's performance against the Ravens during the two regular season games, I mean, it was good, but it wasn't, like, over-the-top spectacular awesome.
Right.
But, you know, like so many people said, where they missed him was in pass protection and, you know, being an outlet for Ben and just being almost like a calming influence for Ben. I mean, if you watched the game like I know you did, Ben was pressing the issue. And Antonio Brown was not involved near enough. The game plan stunk on offense. There was no pass rush on defense. It was pretty much everything that they did wrong during the losing campaigns during the year, they did in this game too.
I think the Antonio Brown point is one that I don't know has been discussed enough. I didn't have a ton of opportunity to listen to the Pittsburgh Sports Radio today, but you know, how on earth do you not get him more looks? And I understand they're double teaming, but I didn't see a whole lot different from what they did in Pittsburgh back in November when he was very effective. You know, yeah, he made some catches late in the game when things were kind of out of hand, but I just don't get it. I don't understand how you don't get him more involved. And at least attempt to, and maybe some of that was on Ben. Maybe he looked away from it. He just wasn't confident with what was there. But that's not him. So I don't think I'm going to put that on him per se. Just a bizarre game plan altogether. And you really almost got the feeling that there just wasn't a lot of confidence in either side of the ball. And of course it doesn't help when you get into the red zone and you kick field goals again. I don't know, Matt. I'm kind of speechless by the way things turned out. I can handle losing. It's not an issue, but when you just don't play well and you don't really seem to plan well, it makes it more frustrating, you know?
Yeah, it really does. And the whole game plan was questionable. The team just didn't seem like they had any urgency whatsoever. The Ravens clearly seemed like they wanted way more than what Pittsburgh did.
Yeah.
You know, when Bell went out, they just completely deflated last week when he went out. And, you know, in this week's game, the offense played with no confidence whatsoever. And I tell you, I mean, from what I saw, and I didn't see every play, but from what I saw, Antonio Brown was not double-teamed all that much. I mean, no more than what he usually is. The Ravens just decided basically they were going to play him with whatever side he happened to be on, with one-on-one, or maybe keep a safety, you know, over the top to help, you know, with a deep ball. But it wasn't anything that he hasn't seen before, because Ben was not either looking his way or not firing his way. The offense seemed clunky and out of sorts. And, you know, when you go down there and you keep on kicking field goals, you know something bad's going to happen. I watched this team play, and they looked like they had no heart whatsoever. And, you know, I say that because I'm sure they had heart. I'm sure they wanted to win.
Right.
But they didn't play like it. They played like, you know, like they did against Tampa Bay or the Jets or any other team they lost to or almost lost to during this year. It was a bad game plan. It was conservative. It was everything they hadn't done to get on this win streak and win the division. And they let a golden opportunity slip through their hands. And now, you know, I mean, playing at Heinz Field, everybody was amped up. It was a perfect situation to really stick it to Baltimore again, to move on in the playoffs, to really show people that this team had bounced back. And, you know, to me, there's maybe not quite as many questions on offense as there was going into this year, but there's certainly more than enough to go around for the defensive side of the ball.
Well, I think you brought up a good point about the Jets game. I think when you go back and look at that game, that was another situation where that defense made Ben Roethlisberger pretty uncomfortable, and it was obvious that that's what was happening on Saturday night. I'm struggling with what Haley was doing, the constant rotation of Josh Harris and Ben Tate, and I mean, look, I get it with Ben Tate, but you're basically shuttling in these running backs, and the Ravens could care less because they know you're really not going to run the ball anyway. It seemed to me the middle of the field was open a lot more, especially in some of those exotic blitz packages. And granted, you know, Ben's got to read those, and maybe the line didn't get the proper protection calls, which, look, under Marquise Pouncey, that has happened before. but it just was. It was a game where Ben was never settled. He still threw the ball pretty well considering that, but you know, at the end of the day, he didn't get it done, and the team in general did not get it done. And you know, you start with the coaches, and you kind of work from there. And as you mentioned about the defense, I mean, we're looking at some serious turnover now.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, statistically, Ben didn't have a bad game. I mean, 31 to 45, 334 yards, touchdown, and two picks. Yes, you know, the two picks were bad and whatnot, but. Yep. You know, he was clearly never comfortable. He wasn't seeing the field right. The protection wasn't good. And you're right, this whole, I mean, they went right back to that whole running back by committee that Tomlin wanted to do when they had Dwyer and Redmond back there, and they couldn't figure out who the hell they wanted to give the ball to. And it was like, well, let's go with Tate. Well, he's doing good. Okay, well, let's pull him out and put Harrison. Well, he's okay. Well, then let's pull him out and put Tate back in. And it was, you know, I mean, it didn't scare anybody. The Ravens knew going in that, you know, they were scared of neither one of these guys. And, you know, it's just the fact that you really saw how much this team on offense plays so much better and how important Le'Veon Bell is to this unit, not just because of the production with the carrying ball and the passes, but the protection and just his ability to take, you know, a quick pass or a run and bust it out on a long play. It opens up everything. And when you don't have that, I mean, the running game scares nobody. So the Steelers were one-dimensional. And, you know, on a day when you need your Pro Bowl superstar, Super Bowl winning, future Hall of Fame quarterback to step up and really pick up this team on the shoulders and carry it, he couldn't, or he didn't, or the game plan didn't allow him to. And it was probably a combination of all three, I guess, when it comes down to it. But, I mean, there's so many things you can say about this team. And the offense, I'm not too worried about the offense for the future. I mean, most of the guys are under contract. You know, the Ben situation is obviously going to loom large, but the playmakers overall at the skill positions and the offensive line, they're pretty much secured, but for the most part. But on defense, there's just so many question marks, and it's going to be another year of, you know, does LeBeau come back? Should he come back? And, you know, the whole Fire Haley type thing had kind of subsided during the last half of the season. Now with that kind of game plan, maybe that's back on the table. There's a whole lot of question marks now. And being a division winner, you know, the schedule next year is going to be a whole lot tougher.
Yeah, and just off the top of my head right there, we'll have the NFC West, and that means trips to Seattle. We haven't played in Seattle in over 10 years. I think it was 2003. And that will certainly not be an easy trip. That will also mean a pretty good San Francisco team. You know, they didn't make the playoffs this year, but also Arizona comes in and will make another trip to St. Louis. So, I mean, then you're looking at New England, Denver, and Indianapolis as well, plus the division. I mean,
San Diego, Oakland, Kansas, right?
Yeah, NFC West. So, I mean, I hate to look to that because I rail against any time you want to look ahead at schedules because so much changes between now and then. But when you look at it on the surface right now, that's a nightmare schedule. And you know, going back to what you said about Dick LeBeau, you know, you're absolutely right. I think we're going to hear it from Mike Tomlin tomorrow. I think he's going to, at the presser, he's going to say, you know, Dick will make up his mind and we'll go from there once he does. And, you know, I get it. We talk about it every year, Matt. But at some point, you know, how long do you just give Dick LeBeau the free pass and the carte blanche and just say, well, come back if you want? I mean, you look across the board at all these defenses going on in the league right now, and his is so hard to learn and play in and everything else, but I don't know. I see some pretty darn good defenses that are way better than ours that don't seem quite as sophisticated. So maybe it's time to simplify things with someone else. I don't know.
Well, and, you know, this is, I mean, quite honestly, I think we have seen or we should have seen the last of the Ike Taylor, James Harrison, Brett Keisel era, and the Troy Polamalu era in Pittsburgh. These are all older guys, all coward holdovers.
Yep.
You know, just guys that, you know, I mean, they've been warriors. They, you know, most of them will be Hall of Famers. Well, some of them will be Hall of Famers, I'm sure. Troy will be. But, I mean, these are warriors. They are going to be Steeler legends. Everybody and their brother has at least one of these guys' jerseys in their house somewhere. And but, you know, this is a situation where every year the Steelers cut loose a couple of old hangovers, and these four guys, for as good as they've been all through the years, they're old, they're beat up. It's time to let go and move on.
Yep.
It's time to improve our drafting on defense. You know, if the defensive side of the offseason can pick up and somewhat equal the way the offensive side has picked up with and you know, improved, then we might have something special. But, you know, you've got those four old guys, which should not be back. And, you know, then you start raising question marks of depth, which we already have question marks of depth. And then you start wondering, you know, is the scheme right? And, you know, I'm not too worried about the defensive line right now because the guys like Tuitt and McCullers and Hayward, I think they're going to be good. And they'll, well, you know, continue to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But the pass rush, the linebackers, the secondary, everything is a question mark right now. And, you know, I'm sure that we'll cover the whole of both thing 9 ways to Sunday 100 times over all throughout the offseason with this. But you're right, sooner or later, you know, I don't know if the Rooneys have it in them to say, okay, you know, Dick, it's time to just hang it up, see you later. I don't know if they can do that.
Yeah, I don't know that they can either, and I don't think that they really want to. Going back to the four guys you mentioned, I think of those four, I think James Harrison might have the best chance of coming back. I mean, at 37 years old, he was the team's most consistent pass rusher, and that's a bit sad. But, you know, he could come back in a position where maybe he just spells guys. The problem there is, are you going to get anything out of him in terms of, you know, special teams? And the answer to that is most likely not. So, you know, I a lot of these guys have had great careers. Like you said, we all have at least one of their jerseys hanging up. I think it's very possible Ike Taylor could end up coming back as a position coach sometime in his future. Maybe even the same for Brett Kiesel. But, you know, I think Troy's done. I think Troy will return to California. I think that's where he wants to be in retirement. And we'll see. It's been awesome having those guys, but you know, time moves on, and the page has to be turned. And it is time to develop some defensive talent, as you alluded to, the way the offense has.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive side of the ball, I'm really not worried about. We have so many skill position players, you know, elite wide receivers or potentially elite wide receivers. Bell, you know, of course, the Ben situation. I mean, you know, this, as far as Ben goes, I mean, let's face it, without Ben, this team goes nowhere. I mean, yeah. Bruce Gradkowski doesn't scare anybody. You know, as good as a backup as he is, this team revolves around Ben. It needs Ben, regardless of how good AB is and you know, Bell is and Heath and everybody else. You have to think that this offseason will be the time when the Steelers will get Ben that deal. I mean, he was tied for, you know, leading the league in passing yards this year. I mean, clearly he's an elite quarterback. Clearly he deserves pretty much whatever he's going to ask for. It's going to be a matter of if they're willing to pay it. But, you know, just without Ben, this team has no shot whatsoever. So I have no doubt, or should I say I have very little doubt, that they'll get a deal done. It's just a matter of how much and when, because I don't want to go into next year not having Ben under contract.
Yeah, and I'm going to add some thoughts on that. Let's take a quick break from our sponsor, Body Tech, Jim in the Berg here, and then I'll come right back with some thoughts on Ben. You're listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Jim in North Hills, Pittsburgh. For $29.95 a month, you get 24-hour access, and there's no contract. Body Tech offers a full juice bar, powerlifting room, yoga, spinning classes, silver sneakers, student rates, a woman's only room, and certified personal trainers. If you need to get back in shape or you're just looking to build on what you have, get into Body Tech today. They're located on Perry Highway in Pittsburgh. Call 412-364-7334 and tell them Steel City Blitz sent you. You know, I thought there was a play in the game, and again, thanks to our sponsor, Body Tech Gym in the North Hills there. Get your butt over there and get working out, people. You know, there was a play in that game. Ultimately, it turned into the interception, you know, by, of all people, Terrell Suggs. That's a play that Le'Veon Bell catches, and he probably runs for a significant amount of yardage. I'm not blaming Ben Tate. He hasn't played in this system for more than 3 days. But that's where Ben looks for that dump off, and that's where he is. And, you know, a lot of people I saw cracking on Ben because he wasn't taking the check downs and the dump offs earlier in the game. And you know what? They're fair critiques. But at the same time, how many of us would have confidence in a Ben Tate or Josh Harris when, you know, for the previous 16 and a half weeks, you've had Le'Veon Bell to check down to for the most part? I understand his lack of confidence in those guys. That said, you know, Ben's still got to improve on some things. He's got to be better in the red zone. The play calling has to be better in the red zone. But you know, Ben could be a little more efficient down there as well. And I just think, yeah, you know, they're going to have to sign him. And I have no idea, Matt, what the number's going to be. I mean, when you look at the numbers of guys like Andy Dalton and Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick, and granted, those are mostly cap-friendly deals, you know, Ben's going to be 33 next season. And I mean, can you really say no to the money he could ask for if he wants it? I don't know. I mean, I never say never. I just can't imagine him going into next season without a new deal. I would be absolutely stunned if it happens.
Yeah, I would too, and I think the Steelers realize that. I mean, there were so many lean years, decades of lean years between, you know, the Bradshaw era and the Ben era. I mean, you know, maybe we had, you know, a slight bit of a reprieve in the O'Donnell time period, except for that Super Bowl debacle. But, I mean, for the most part, the Steelers have had no quarterback since Bradshaw that was anything special. Nope. And you've got Ben here. He's been there his entire career. I would be floored if they don't have a deal done by the time training camp starts, or at least finishing up something by the time it starts, so he's signed before the regular season. It would be absolutely a huge just issue to try and deal with during, you know, the regular season, because, you know, mainly I guess for the fans, but I'm sure it would weigh heavily on Ben's shoulders now, and that would affect his play. I mean, I would be, you know, you can say what you want, but when you're in a contract year, especially a guy like Ben who knows he's only probably getting one more deal, you know, you want to get that done. He wants to stay in Pittsburgh. He's been there his whole career. I'd be shocked if it wasn't done either. One thing else yet about the game, where, you know, in a situation like this where the offense is sputtering, you can't score in the red zone, where in the world was the no-huddle? I mean, where was it? Did you see it? I didn't see it.
Well, it was – they used it a little bit in the first half. They used it more in the second half when they needed to. But, you know, we were once again duped by this. We saw all preseason that they were running it. It was reportedly running well. I don't know, Matt. I don't understand why they chose to get rid of it. And really, I mean, they brought it out almost like a kid brings out a new toy after the holidays. It's like, hey, here's my new toy. And then he kind of puts it away because he realizes he's done playing with it already. You know, and that was the feeling I got. And, you know, you look at the way some of these other teams, especially at the college level, and I know college and pro is different, but they dictate so heavily to the defense and what they're doing. And I think you have the perfect guy for it. If you're going to go with these quick throws, quick read, quick throw stuff, then why not do it out of the no huddle, not 2 minute, but the no huddle offense, and allow Ben to just be Ben, so to speak. I just don't know. The conspiracy theorist inside me says that decision comes from up high, that they don't want to be that kind of offense. They want to be, you know, balanced, and they want to be, you know, we're going to be traditional in how we do things. And I don't know. I'm with you. I was very frustrated not to see it a little bit more this year.
Well, and, you know, I mean, even just in that game, I mean, I know they used it some, but it just seems like they're so afraid of being labeled a team that can't move the ball without it that they don't want to do it. I'm like, you know, this is the playoffs.
Yeah.
This is win or go home. You do what you got to do to move the ball. And if you have to no huddle for 60 minutes every time you get the ball, then do it, especially when you're down arguably your biggest playmaker, or at least one of your biggest playmakers in Le'Veon Bell. You've got to find ways to move the chains and keep that defense honest. And, I mean, let's face it, as the game wore on, you know, the Ravens got more and more fearless in the pass rush, and the Steelers just kind of started to fall apart. And, you know, I was shocked that they didn't use it more consistently and stick with it. You know, and you're right. I mean, there is a difference between the no huddle and the 2 minute. And, you know, but, I mean, they ran it effectively all year, not when they had to, but just when they wanted to. I mean, sometimes they will come out, you know, on the first series of the game and run it. You know, what's wrong with that? You're scoring down, you're moving down, you're moving the chains, you're scoring touchdowns or whatever. I don't get it. It's just another thing where the Steelers offense just really, the whole team in general just blows your mind, because just when you think you understand them, you realize you don't understand them, and everything is a question mark again. But, you know, I'm frustrated by the loss. I was just severely pissed off for, you know, the first couple of days afterwards. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, what a opportunity missed to be at home and to move forward. You know, it's irritating when you get in that position after not being there for 2 years and you just blow it. You really do.
Well, and I think Steeler fans have to really come to the, you know, conclusion, or come to grips right now with the fact that John Harbaugh and his staff are out coaching the Steelers.
Oh, absolutely. There is no question.
Yeah, they have now won 6 of the last 9. They've gone from being 0-3 in Pittsburgh in the playoffs. Now they've won 1 there. You know, and again, I'm not going to get as crazy as John Harbaugh and say that Joe Flacco is the best quarterback in the NFL. I will say he might be the best playoff quarterback in the NFL right now. When you look at his numbers over the last 5, 6, 7 games in the playoffs, the guy's flawless. And it, when you're not bringing pressure and you can't, you know, they finally did a better job of stopping the run, because that first drive they were just gashed horribly, or actually it was, I think, the second drive. You know, but Baltimore's got our number right now, and they're, you know, you can't avoid saying that. It doesn't make you less of a Steeler fan to admit it, but you have to admit it. That's the first step, and now we got to figure out how to adjust to this. And, you know, as we talked about, it starts on both sides of the ball and getting some depth in there, which we've sorely lacked. I'm real curious for this press conference tomorrow and in the coming weeks to kind of see what's going on down there. You know, we've seen offensive assistants leave every year since Todd Haley's been here. And, you know, we always hear, well, they're, you know, going for greener pastures, whether it's Kirby Wilson or Scotty Montgomery or whatnot. But I'm curious to see what breaks down now after, as you said, such an opportunity was blown.
Yeah, and I mean, those are topics that we'll cover, obviously, with articles on the site. And, you know, on some future shows here, as we start to look at free agency and, you know, any kind of coaching moves that are coming and, you know, the draft coming up here. But there's a lot of time for that. So before we want to wrap it up, I definitely just want to say thanks to everybody for a great year on the podcast, and for everybody that listens and spreads the word and tweets to us and emails us and all that good stuff. We love it. And, you know, definitely a big shout out to Body Tech Gym for their first year with us on the show. They sponsored us for most of the season on the podcast. So a huge thanks to them. And hopefully we can do it again next year. But, I don't know about you, man, but I definitely had a whole lot of fun doing this show, regardless of how the season ended in a resounding thud of crap.
It is, man. It is always fun. We've been doing this now. I think you and I first did our show, I want to say it was like right after the Super Bowl loss to Green Bay.
I think so.
So I dare I say we have to be well into the hundreds in terms of our podcast now, when you throw in regular season playoff and off-season stuff. But you know what, Matt, we enjoy it, and again, we do. We thank everybody that does listen, and we certainly, we check the clicks. We want to see who's listening and who's not, and you know, always, as always, fire us off questions and emails, and You know, we're not the most intelligent guys, but we'll give you pretty straight opinions and honest honest opinions as well. But yeah, I agree. Great year of podcasting, and I look forward to that blooper reel that's coming soon.
Yeah, I've had the flu since Christmas, so I've actually been, well, I was laying around in my house, like, dying slowly but surely. I was thinking about making that reel, and I actually put some of them together, and there is there's a resounding amount of expletives in that blooper reel that's just going to be pretty much hysterical. And I put about 2 minutes together of it just now, and there's, well, I'm not going to spoil it, but let's just say within the first few minutes I made it, actually really rather ridiculously bad. But.
Well, so we're just going to need to slap a PG-13 rating on the blooper episode, and that's the best we can do. But yeah, and I too want to thank Scott at Body Tech Gym. He's been my point man in terms of speaking with him, and yeah, I hope they're willing to do it again next year. It's just awesome to be able to help them out a little bit. I try to tweet them out as much as possible and get them a little exposure, and hopefully they talk about us and have some of our stuff around the gym there. But yeah, if you're looking for a place to go, everything I hear about Body Tech is awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are definitely happy to have them on board. Of course, you can find their link on our website, and you know, we thank them definitely for joining up with us. But I think with that, we are going to wrap this one up. We'll be back next week. We'll talk more, you know, about free agency and maybe some thoughts on the last, you know, pressure that Mike Tomlin's going to have on Tuesday, and just, you know, kind of give some thoughts heading into where we think this team is headed, and we will go from there. So we definitely encourage everyone to listen. We thank everybody for joining us this year, and we will catch you all again soon right here on the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast presented by Body Tech Gym, North Hills, Pittsburgh. Thanks for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Check them out online at bodytech-gym.com or call 412-364-7334. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a question for us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter at scblitz or on steelcityblitz.com and use the Contact Us option on the right side of the homepage. SteelCityBlitz.com is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.